All right, we'll say good morning. So today's daf is Sadik Zayin. We left off on Sadik Vav Amud Bey's last two lines. Ella Amar Rava. So we'll say again, trying to figure out still the machlokas. We're still in our Mishnah. I mean, we're not in the Mishnah. We're still discussing the Mishnah of one who goes in and finds tefillin on Shabbos. So we had a fundamental machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim, and the Chachamim as to what to do, right? So again, Tanna Kamma says you bring them in one pair at a time. Rabbi Gamliel said two at a time. So the Gemara says now the Gemara wants to suggest Amar Rava Tarach v'lo Tarach Tanaihi. The concept of whether or not people exert themselves, Tircha, is a machlokes on Shabbos. So what does Tircha have to do with our topic over here? Because if you remember again, the Mishnah said that this license to wear in tefillin from Rosh Hashanah only applies to what? Yishanos, old tefillin, but not chadashos. So remember again, the way we're describing yishanos and chadashos right now is that yishanos were tied. We were able to see on the ritzuos that they were tied once upon a time, and now they're untied. Chadashos means that the ritzuos themselves were never even tied. In the case of chadashos, the concern was that what? That perhaps they're not really tefillin, but they're amulets. They're amulets. So the Gemara before yesterday's daf was discussing, would a person really engage in that much tircha to make tefillin like an amulet? So Rava says, maybe the machlokia says, tarach v'lo tarach tanayi, disanyo, hamotzei tefillin, if one finds tefillin, on Shabbos and Shulabim, machnis and zugzug, you could wear them in one pair at a time, echad ha'ish ve'echad ha'isha, and this is true with a man or with a woman, top of Tzadik Zayin, echad chadashos ve'echad yishanos, whether they're new tefillin or whether they're old tefillin. Divrei Rabbi Meir, these are the words of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda oser bechadashos umatir biyishanos. Rabbi Yehuda says that you can go ahead and only you can't bring in new pairs, but you can bring in the older pairs. So the Gemara says, Alma, I will say, so the Gemara says, Rava suggests, what's the machlokas? Mar savar tarich inish, umar savar lo tarich inish. One opinion holds that people will go out of their way, will expend the effort to make a kamiya, to make an amulet that looks like tefillin, and therefore, again, we'll say that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda holds that you can't bring in chadashos for fear that they may be an amulet. And Marshav, the other opinion holds, lo tarach inish, that people don't go ahead and engage in that much effort. And therefore, again, even the new ones we assume are not amulets, but are bona fide tefillin, and therefore you can carry them in. Fine. So the Gemara goes weiter. V'hashta detani avua d'shmuel bar Yitzchak. And now that we had, I will say, a different explanation of the father of Shmuel bar Yitzchak, who said, Elu hein yishanos. These are, what is the definition of old tefillin? Kol sheyesh bahen ritzuos u'mikusharos. So we'll say, now, up until now, we've made the assumption that the definition of new tefillin means they were never tied. Never tied. Now the Gemara suggests that, no, you know what the definition is? Yishanos are any tefillin that have ritzuos. Have the straps, and the straps are currently tied. The knots are still intact. Chadashos, new tefillin, yesh bahen ritzuos, velo mikusharos. But yet, chadashos, the ritzuos are there, but the tefillin are not tied. D'chuli alma, lo tarich inish, lo tarich inish. Everyone agrees that what? They were not concerned about the kamiya. The concern over here is not that the new tefillin are an amulet. Why? Because you make the assumption no one engages in that much effort. that's a lot of tircha. No one does that. We have a very simple itza. Even if the tefillin are new and not tied, ula avinhu me'anif. So we'll say, here's the issue then. According to this approach, the problem with new tefillin on Shabbos, we'll say, is what? Is that they're not tied. And if you were to tie them, what would happen? That would be the av malach of kosher. Kosher is one of the 39 malachos to make a knot. So the reason you can't go ahead, Rabbosa, remember, this whole thing is predicated on the idea that tefillin, because it's worn, has the din of a tachshit, has the din of an ornament. But it only has the din of a tachshit when it's worn normally, which means it has to be tied on the body in the normal fashion. If there are no knots, it can't be tied on the body in a normal fashion. So the Gemara therefore says, and you can't tie the knots on Shabbos. Why? Because tying a knot on Shabbos is one of the 39 malachos. To which the Gemara says, well, I have an itza. Ula avinhu me'aniv. Make a bow. Make a bow. Now, we'll say, what does it mean, make a bow? A bow is a non-permanent knot, right? Remember, the only issue, the issue daraisa of tying a knot on Shabbos is with a permanent knot. That's why on Shabbos you can tie your shoes, you can make a tie, because ultimately those are not considered permanent knots. So why don't you just make a bow for the knots of the tefillin, and that will allow you to wear them back into Rosh Hashanah. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chista, Zos Ameres Aniva Psula B'Tefillin. This must be saying that what? that tying a bow is usher by tefillin, that a bow knot does not work by tefillin. Abai Amar, Rabbi Yehuda Latame. Rabbi says, no, Rabbi Yehuda goes according to his reasoning. The Amar, Aniva Kshira Ma'al Yosihi. No, Rabbi Yehuda has a different reason why he doesn't allow this, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that making a bow is considered to be a bona fide knot, and therefore what? Would be Asr on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Taima, Da Aniva Kshira Ma'al Yosihi. So the way you're making it sound is the reason you can't tie the tefillin up with a bow, meaning make the knots of the bow, is because making a bow on Shabbos is a bona fide knot. Making a knot on what we call a kesher shel kayama, a knot that's going to endure, ultimately is a melacha d'oraisa. Ha lav hachi, but were it not for the fact that it's an isra d'oraisa, anivlehu, you make it sound like that you could tie tefillin with a bow. With a bow. So the Gemara says, but one second. V'ha'amar av Yehuda b'reidu Rav Shmuel bar Shilas mishmei d'rav kesher shel tefillin halacha l'moshe misinaihu. But the Gemara says, but Rav Yehuda b'reidu Rav Shmuel, bright son of Rav Shilas, said in the name of Rav, that Rav will say, the knot of tefillin is not just any knot, but rather again, how you tie that knot is a halacha l'moshe misinai. Look at Rashi, Rav will say, halacha l'moshe misinai, heichu asui. How to make this knot is a Sinaitic law. Shedoma lidalid. Because remember, again, he's talking about over here in the knot of the back of the shel rosh is like a dalid. It's like a dalid. Ubitfirasan asui kamin shin. And remember, again, on the actual bias of the shel rosh, you have the letter shin. Uritsua kitana kvua yesh bohen. Virosha kafaf liyud. Hare Shakai. So we'll say, remember, if you look at the knots of the tefillin, so the back knot of the shel rosh is the shin. The knot that you have on the shel, is a dalet. The knot that you have on the shel yad is a yud. And there is a shin on the bias of the shel rosh. Obviously spelling out the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says, you're making it sound like that the only reason you really need a knot is to go and keep the tefillin on, to be able to tie it. And therefore, no matter how you tie it, it's fine. Rabbi Huda's whole problem over here is just that a bow is a legitimate knot, and therefore you can't tie it on Shabbos. But were it not for the Shabbos issue, tying the knots of the tefillin in a bow would be totally fine. But the Gemara says that's not true. The way we tie the knots on our tefillin is a halacha l'moshe misinai, and a bow, therefore, would not do. To which the Gemara says, Kesha shel tefillin halacha l'moshe misinai hu. And furthermore, again, he says, no yehen lebar, but also look at Rashi. Vinu yehen, nu yehen, noi means like their beauty. Rashi says, no yehen, osa hekera osios, this recognizable knots that symbolize the letters, lebar, Rashi says, lechutz, have to be visible on the outside. She'eno klape hatfilin, bein abatim, ele kenegen maris ayin, lefishnei rabahen ure'u. So we'll say this statement really has nothing to do with our Gemara, but it's just here once talking about tefillin. So Nachman says not only are the bows a halacha l'moshe misinai, but the letters that the knots and the shin of the shel rosh symbolize have to be visible on the outside. So the Gemara says da'ani of lehu ke'en kashira dido. So apparently it is possible to tie a bow that would still satisfy the criteria for the knots that we have. Okay? Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav. So we'll say Rav Chista said in the name of Rav. Halokeach, so we'll say just the take home from that particular sugya is that the way the Gemara is now reinventing the case of the Mishnah. And now what we're saying is that the case of Yishanos are tefillin that are still tied. Tefillin are still tied, they're knotted. And therefore, again, the reason you could transport that back into Rosh Hashanah is because you could wear them normally. The case of Chadashos is where the tefillin are not knotted. They're not knotted. So again, according to this approach, we don't assume that they're amulets because the person doesn't engage in that much tircha. But the reason you can't do anything with them until after Shabbos is because they're not knotted. Because they're not knotted, there's no way for you to wear them back. Because there's no way for you to wear them back, therefore you can't transport them as a tachshit. Transporting as a tachshit only works if it's derech levisha, if it's how you wear it. And you can't tie it on Shabbos because tying such a knot on Shabbos that would satisfy the criteria of tefillin would be a kesher shel kayama. Okay. So says the Gemara, if somebody purchases tefillin from an individual who's not an expert. So now the Rosh Hashanah is, I have to figure out, are the tefillin good or not? So what's the halacha? Bodek shtayim shal yad ve'echad shal rosh. So we'll say this is assuming over here that I'm buying a bunch of tefillin. Rashi says, halokeach tefillin harbe yachad. I'm buying a lot of tefillin at once. V'lachzor lemochran v'lochan mimishen mumcha. So we'll say again, I could be, he's saying, let's say I'm a tefillin salesman. So I'm buying it from a wholesaler. Right? So I go ahead and I get a whole bunch of pairs of tefillin. So now I have to see, are the tefillin, and again, this person is not established as a mumcha. If somebody is established as an expert, then their reputation is enough to say that the tefillin are kosher. Let's say a person doesn't have an established reputation as a mumcha. I'm just breaking into the tefillin business. So I have to check. So what do I check? Bodek shtayim shalyad. I check two shalyads. Ve'echad shalrosh and one shalrosh. O shtayim shalrosh ve'echad shalyad. Or two shalroshes and one shal. So we'll say, what's the idea? The idea is you have to check three. You have to check three. And you have the choice. You want to do two shalyads, one shalrosh, one shalyad, two shalroshes. Whatever you want to do is fine, but you do have to check three. Right, no parshios, because the truth is the batim are easy, because batim you can see externally how they are. This is about the parshios. Look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, Bodek shtayim shel yad v'achas shalosh. They came on the hochsak b'shalosh. So both of the idea is you're checking three different tefillin. Hava mumcha belokeach hashar belo bedika. So also again, once I establish that the person is trustworthy in three. Now again, it's not three pairs of tefillin. This is three tefillin, right? Two shayads, one shalosh, or vice versa. Once I establish that three are kosher, then the rest are good. So the Gemara says, well, what's the case? One of shach im echad gavra kazovin. If you're going ahead and buying all of these tefillin from one person, livdok o shalosh shayad. Oh, shalosh shalrosh. So we'll say, again, why do I have to check a shalyad and a shalrosh? The idea would be to check three. Three establishes the chazaka. Let's say I check three shalroshes, right? That should establish the chazaka as well. Imitrei tlosa gavri zavin. Now, if I'm buying this whole bunch of tefillin from two or three different people, then kolchad v'chad liboy b'dika. Then I remember, then I have to check the where's the tefillin that I'm getting from each one. Because then establishing a chazaka for three from all of them doesn't work, because I have to establish the chazaka for the individual. To which the Gemara says, the olam echad gavra zobin. In reality, what are we talking about over here? I bought a whole bunch of tefillin from one individual. Uba inan dimismachi b'shalyad. And apparently, Rabbi Yossi, I remember, because the parashios of the shalyad and the shalrosh are different, a person who does not have an established reputation as a mumcha, as an expert, needs to be established through chazaka for both shalyad and shalrosh, meaning even though they're both tefillin, but because they are different, a person's chazaka has to be established for both of them. Now, interestingly enough, you don't have to go ahead and do three of each. All you need is a composite of three, right? The total of three, but the three must include both tefillin shalyad and tefillin shalrosh. So the Gemara says, "Ini, is this true?" V'hot honi Rabbi Bar Shmuel, but I, Rabbi Bar Shmuel, said, "B'tefillin bodek shalosh shalyad b'shalrosh." Aye, but we learned, right? Rabbi Bar Shmuel said that if you bought tefillin from someone, you don't know if they're a mumcha, and you have to establish a chazaka. When it comes to tefillin, you check three shalyad and shalrosh. My love, O shalosh shalyad, O shalosh shalrosh. Does this not mean you could check either three shalyads or three shalroshes? Lo, shalosh mehen. No, rather what it means to say is you have to check three altogether. Shalosh mehen shalyad, mehen shalrosh. You have to check three in total. Some of them shalyad, some of them shalosh. Exactly what we were saying before. V'otani Rav Kahana, but Rav Kahana said, B'tfilin bodek shtayim shalyad v'shalrosh. Aye, but Rav Kahana said, you only have to check two. You have to check two. You only have to check two, shalyad, shalrosh. Hamani, whose opinion is that? Rebihi, that's Rebbe. Da'amar betray zimni havi chazaka. So we'll say, remember, up until now we've been saying three. Why? Because three is the magic number for creation of chazaka. Rebbe is of the opinion that chazaka is created with two. Therefore, Rebbe would say in the case of tefillin, again, that all you need to do is check one shal yad and one shal rosh. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, e Rebbe, what about the end of this? What about the end of the brisa? Ema seifa v'chein betzeves hasheni v'chein betzeves hashlishi. That what about the end of the brisa that says, and this you have to repeat the same process for the second bundle and for the third bundle. Look at Rashi, v'chein betzeves hasheni. Let's say a person purchased multiple bundles of tefillin. In every bundle is a lot of pairs of tefillin. So kasaka daite dehachi kamar badak betzeves harishon shnei tefillin hosach kol osa tzeves v'chein b'sheni gamu v'chein b'shlishi techeivan dehochsak b'shlosha tzevasim kasherim. So I'll say the Brisa says what happens. The Brisa says you also have to check the second bundle and you also have to check the third bundle. The Rebbe Shlishi Mi Islay. The Rabbi will say if Rebbe is the one who holds that Chazakah is established with two, then how many bundles should Rebbe make you check? Only two. Why does the Brisa say you have to check three? To which the Gemara says, Mo de Rebbe Bitzavasim Dimitre. So Rebbe agrees, and we'll say that in a case where you bought each of these bundles of tefillin from different people. I will say, in that case, like we said before, if you bought each bundle from a different person, then what? Then each bundle needs to have its own established chazakah, right? Each bundle needs to be checked. And according to Rebbe, that's what the Braisa means. That the same way, according to Rebbe, you have to check two from the first bundle. If you bought the second bundle from another individual, you have to check that one. And the third bundle and the fourth bundle as well. If that's the case, then why does the Raisa just say you have to repeat this process by the second bundle, the third bundle? If you're buying each of these bundles from different people, you have to repeat the process even with the fourth bundle and the fifth bundle as well. To which the Gemara says, Enachinami, you're right. V'hadik tani shlishi, and the only reason it discusses the third bundle, la'afuke mechazoke. To go ahead and take this and to teach you that chazaka doesn't apply here. Also, what does it mean chazaka doesn't apply here? That even though, again, you've checked two bundles and what? Both of them are good. The concept of chazaka only applies when you're checking the tefillin that all came from one source. But if the tefillin came from multiple sources, then what? Then each bundle from a different source requires its own established chazaka. Therefore, the Braisa only discusses bundle number three to teach you that even according to Rebbe, who holds that chazaka is established with two occurrences, would agree that in this case, you still have to check every single bundle because they each came from a different person. And the truth is, of course, it would also apply to the fourth and fifth bundles that came from other people as well. Weiter. Matzah and Sevasim Okrichos. So remember, what we said, the Mishnah said that if you found the tefillin, Tzevasim or Krichos, Machshech Aleihem, if that's the case, you go ahead and you wait with them, right? You don't carry them, you don't take them back, but rather, again, you wait there by the pile until Shabbos is over, and then you bring it back. Umavion. So the Gemara says, my tzivasim umay krichos. What do these terms mean? Amrav Yehuda, Amrav, hein hein tzivasim, hein hein krichos. They both mean the same thing. They both mean bundles. Bundles of tefillin. I said, what's the chilik? So tzivasim zuzi zuzi, krichos, the krich and tuva. So we'll say just tzivasim means they're bundles, but they're bundled in pairs. So we'll say the Shal Yad and Shal Rosh are together, but there's a whole bundle of them, as opposed to, the Gemara says, I'm sorry, I just lost the place here. Tzivasim Zuzi Zuzi. So ultimately, Tzivasim means that they're bundled together in pairs. Krichos, the Krichon Tuva. As opposed to Krichos, which means what? That Lemaisa, they're not in pairs, they're all just mushed together. Fine. So when the Mishnah said in that case, then Lemaisa, you wait there until nightfall and then you bring the tefillin back. But why do you have to wait there? La'alinu zug zug. Why don't you just start wearing them back pair by pair? Okay, it's going to occupy a good part of your Shabbos afternoon, but just go ahead and start wearing them back one pair at a time. So now you have Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of his father, Kol she'ilu machnisan zug zug v'kalos kodem shkias achama machnisan zug zug. If you can go ahead and start wearing them in and get all of the tefillin into Rosh Hashanah when before Shabbos is over, then that's what you should do. Ve'ilo, Rabbosai, sometimes you already realize that what? That there are too many pairs of tefillin there to go back and forth and get them all in. In that case, what do? Machshech aleihem, you wait there with the tefillin in order that nothing should happen to them, and then when Shabbos is over, you carry it back in. Okay? Weiter. B'sakana mechasan v'holich. So we'll say, the next case of the Mishnah was that if it's a time of danger, so what do? You just simply cover the tefillin and you go back home. So the Gemara says, v'hatanya, but we learned elsewhere in Abraisa, u'b'sakana molichan pachos pachos mi'arba amos, that in the time of sakana rabosa, you could transport the tefillin by carrying them less than 4 amos at a clip. So we'll say, how do we reconcile these two opinions? Amrav lo kash, Rav says it's not a kasha. Habisakonas nachri, habisakonas listim. One is talking about sakonas nachri. So we'll say, look at Rashi. Sakonas ovdeko ovdegilulim. Rashi says, Amud Aleph still. Right? Last Rashi's on Amud Aleph. Sakonas ovdegilulim. Dimevazuluhu the tefillin molichan. So we'll say, one is talking about the sakana from a non Jew, from an idolater. So apparently, the idolater will desecrate tefillin. So because the idolater will desecrate tefillin, then what? Then lemaisa, we need to get the tefillin to a safer location. That's where the brisa gives you license to carry it less than dalet amos at a time. However, besakanas listim, Rashi says, Yisrael dekatli le mishum mamono, or the tefillin lo mevazeluhu mechasan. So we'll say the other case talking about sakanas listim. And who are the bad guys? Who are the robbers over here? Jews. Now, the one good thing about Jewish robbers, the one redeeming part is, they won't do anything to the tefillin, right? The assumption is they're not going to desecrate the tefillin. They might rob you, they might kill you, but they're not going to do anything, right? People often have a much greater reverence for Judaica than they have for people, right? So no one's going to touch the tefillin. They'll, you know, whatever. They'll smash the kishkas out of you, but they're not going to touch the tefillin. So therefore, again, the Gemara is saying, when the Braisa says that you can carry the tefillin less than dalet amos, that's talking about sakanas nachrim, where there's a fear of non-Jews. And the idolaters may, in fact, desecrate the tefillin, therefore you have to get tefillin out of there. The other case of sakana is where it's dangerous for you to hang around over here. Nothing's going to happen to the tefillin, so cover the tefillin, get back home, and you'll come back at another time to retrieve them. So the Gemara says, okay, Amud Beis. Amr Lei Abaye. So Abaye says the following. B'mai ukimta l'mas nisin. So now, how are you establishing the Mishnah? So also remember, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said that if there's a large pile of tefillin, some mechason, you go ahead and you cover it up. V'holich, and you go. So the Gemara says, so how have you established the case in the Mishnah? B'sakonos ovdei gilulim. Now you want to try to establish the Mishnah as dealing with a case of where there's danger from non-Jews. If that's the case, Ema Seifa, look at the end of the Mishnah that says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Nostan lechavero, v'chavero lechavero. So we'll say again, what about the end of the Braisa that says, Rabbi Shimon says, that you can go ahead and give one friend could give to the other, meaning the way to carry it back is to go ahead and hand it off one person to the next, each moving less than a space of dalet amos. Kol shekin da'av shemilsa. So we'll say all the more so that such a process could potentially lead to the degradation of Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Chisrei mechzer v'hachi katani. So the Gemara says, you're right, there's a piece missing from the Mishnah. Here's how it's supposed to read. B'medra mamurim, when is this so? B'sakonas ovdei gilulim. Right? Ultimately, when there is a sakana of non-Jews. So we'll say, in that case over there, that's when we would allow you to go ahead and pass it from person to person. However, aval b'sakonas listim, molichin pachos pachos midalet amos. But according to Rabbi Shimon, when there is just a fear of what we call Jewish robbers, then lemaisa, you yourself can carry it less than dalet amos at a time. All right, so now we have to explore this a little bit more. Rabbi Shimon omer nosan lechaver. So we'll say again, remember how the Mishnah ended. The Mishnah ended by saying that Rabbi Shimon comes along, and Rabbi Shimon says, nosan lechavero, v'chavero lechavero, so remember, this is the case of where you're finding now, you're finding the pile of tefillin. Apparently, it's too much to go ahead and what? Wear them back in. Now the Mishnah says, in a time of sakana, mechasan, you leave them there, and you go on, and you go home. Rabbi Shimon comes along and says, you can give them to your friend, and your friend to your friend, until you get to a Rishus HaYochid. Okay, so the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Amar Nosan Lechavero, B'mai Kamiflagi. So what is the nature of the machlokes? Because remember, again, Rabosai, the Rabbi Huda comes along and says, actually, we'll leave that for a second. So B'mai Kamiflagi. What's the nature of the machlokes in the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon? Mar Savar, Pachos Me'arba Amos Adif. So Rabosai, listen to this. What's interesting is that Rabbi Shimon suggests that giving it person to person is a better Eitzah than what? Than you yourself carrying it less than Dalat Amos at a time. Because also remember, there is another, there are two ways you can get this tefillin to Rosh Hashanah. You could either, leaving aside the wearing case, we're assuming right now you can't wear it. So possibility number one is like Rabbi Shimon says, that pass it person to person to person to person and get it back like that. Or second possibility is you yourself continuously carry it, but carry it for less than Dalat Amos at a clip. Okay? Now obviously Rabbi Shimon doesn't accept, Rabbi Shimon, each side is rejecting the other option. So the Gemara says, why? So B'mai Kamiflagi, what are they arguing about? Mar Savar, Pachos Me'arba Amos Adif. One opinion says that carrying an object less than Dalat Amos is better. Why? Meaning, we'll say, obviously it's not the Chatchila, but in a compromised situation, it's the best option. Di'i Amrit Nostan L'Chavero V'Chavero L'Chavero Avsha Milsa D'Shabes. Because we'll say, the notion of handing something person to person takes away, impugns on the Kedusha, on the holiness of Shabbos. So like, the idea is, you know, the concept of Shamilsa means activities that themselves are not usher on Shabbos, but take away, degrade the general sanctity of Shabbos. So for example, just like the contemporary application of that is, there's always many interesting discussions about in the post about running appliances on Shabbos. I don't mean your air conditioning and your lights, you know, setting your dishwasher or your coffee maker, things like that. So interesting discussions in the post game. So many hold that Mikra didn't, it's not usher, but the notion of having things run on Shabbos is not right. It degrades, it takes away from the general sanctity of Shabbos. So the Gemara is saying, handing it one person to another is not a violation of Shabbos, but to have so many people involved in the act of carrying degrades the general sanctity of Shabbos. Umar Sarv, the other opinion, holds no. And therefore, again, according to that approach, it would be better for one individual to carry less than Dalat Amos at a time. Umar Sarv, the other opinion, says, Nostan Lechaveiro Adif, it's better to hand from one person to another rather than walk less than Dalat Amos. Why? Di'i Amrit Molich and Pachas Me'arba Amos, because if we let a person carry an object less than Dalat Amos at a time, Zimnin Dalavadaite, what's going to happen? There are times where he may not pay attention. So we'll say, that's a big roll of the dice, a big gamble, because you're assuming then the person is going to be constantly cognizant of the fact that what? That they have to stop less than Dalat Amos, okay? And if they remember 1 second too late, they potentially just transgress the Malacha Doraisa. So v'hai v'asi la'asnui arba amos v'shusra. Therefore, we'll say, it is so easy for a person to lose count, to get mixed up, to lose concentration, and in doing so, will what? Will end up carrying Dalat Amos v'shusra, which could be a Malacha Doraisa. So remember again, the next case in the Mishnah was, the Mishnah also said, Rabbi Shimon also said, that the same thing applies to one's child. Now what does that mean? That if you had a kid in the field, you can go ahead and you could transport the child from person to person to person, even 100 people. So the Gemara says, Bino my boy Hassam. What is this doing here, right? I mean, what? First of all, what is the case, and what does that have to do with what we're talking about? So the Bei Menashe Tana, so in the Shiva Menashe, they said, what's the case? B'sheyaldasa ima basada, a woman gave birth in the field. Umay afilu hein mea. And what did Shavuot say? So now what happens? Woman gave birth in the field. Shavuot say, obviously, if there's a sakana, of course you could do whatever you need to do. But assuming right now it's not a sakana, but now you need to get the baby back into habitation. So what do you do? So the Gemara says, Mishnah says, you could pass it person to person, even 100 people. Afal gav dikashile yada afilu hochi ha'adifa. So the Gemara says something very interesting. Even though, again, for the infant, it might not be best to be passed hand to hand to hand. Rabbi Shimon's, everybody's purelling, of course, in the middle, right? So Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that Lamaisa, that is better, still better than one person going ahead and what? One person going ahead and carrying the baby less than Dalat Amos at a time. I will say, just Lamaisa, we pass in a case like this, that of course any newborn is in a state of a Cholesh Yeshbo Sakana, while. So the way we pass in these kind of situations is, you know, just take the baby, one person takes the baby directly without any kind of shin or any kind of stoppages. You take the baby back to habitation. But weiter, so that's the chemino. So where goes weiter? Rabbi Huda Omer knows in Adam Chavis. So I'll say another interesting case. Rabbi Huda came along in the end of the mission and says that a person could go ahead and take a barrel, and gives a barrel to his friend, and the friend to the friend, and they could transport the item even outside of the tchum. And the Rabbanan responded to Rabbi Yehuda that an object can go no farther than the tchum of its owners. To which the Gemara says, "Velestay the Rabbi Yehuda." Had this now, but does Rabbi Huda reject the principle that we learned before? Habehema v'hakelim karagle abaylim. Does Rabbi Huda reject the idea that a utensil is limited to the tchum of its owners? I mean, I will say Rabbi Huda seems to allow the transport of the barrel. If you pass it person to person to person, Rabbi Huda doesn't say you can take that barrel as far as you want, and we're not worried about the tchum of the owners. Does Rabbi Huda not subscribe to the idea that the tchum of a particular object is the tchum of its owner? So the Gemara says, Amar Eish Lakish, Mishum Levi Saba, Hacha Maaskina, what are we talking about over here? B'ma'aron mechavis lechavis. We're talking about a case of Rabosai of water that was poured from one chavis to another chavis, one barrel to another. Look at Rashi. Rashi is mechavis lechavis, vashnia shalo, v'chein ose tamid ulekamei mefaresh, mai zlo tahalichsu. So I'll say, interestingly enough, what we're talking about over here is where the water is being poured barrel to barrel. Rabbi Huda l'tamei, Rabbi Huda says, Rabbi Huda goes according to his reasoning, the Amar, Mayim ein bahen mamish. Rabbi Huda is of the opinion that lemaisa, water is not significant enough to acquire a makom shvisa. Look at Rashi. Ein ben mamish liknos shvisa eitzah ba'aleim harishonim v'chol adam mutra laholichin kraglav. Water is not significant enough to acquire a makom shvisa, and therefore, what Rabbi say, water essentially acquires the tchum of whoever gets it. So therefore, in this case, if you're pouring from barrel to barrel, so when it's in Reuven's barrel, it has Reuven's tchum, Shimon's barrel has Shimon's tchum, so on and so forth. Disnan, Rabbi Huda poter b'mayim, mipnei she'ein bahen mamish. Rabbi Huda exempts when it comes to water, because water does not have any kind of, literally, ein by mamish, which means substance to it. Look at Rashi, poter b'mayim, plugtai b'perek basra de beitza, ha'isha sheshala mechaverta tavlin l'kadera, umayim umelech li'isasa, harehen karagle shtehem. So we'll say again, there's a din in Erevin. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that water is not limited to the tchum of the person who owns it, but rather it goes by the tchum of whoever will own it. So even though, when again, we'll say, even though under normal circumstances, we say that with utensils, with objects, their tchum is established at the onset of Shabbos based on the person who owned it at that time. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that water's tchum changes with whoever presently owns it. Umay lo tahalech zu. Excuse me. Umay lo tahalech zu lo yahalech ma shebezu. Yoser me ragle habaylim. What it means is that the water may not be transported anymore, right? Anywhere beyond the tchum of the person who presently owns it. But einachinami, should you give that water to someone else, then what? Then the water would acquire the new tchum of the new owner. Eimar d'shamusay Rabbi Huda hecha debliyam beisa. So Mar says, one second, maybe Rabbi Huda only holds that water is insignificant when let's say it's absorbed into a dough, meaning when the water is no longer in existence. So the Gemara says, but when water is actually extant, when water actually exists by itself, does Rabbi Huda still hold that it's not significant and therefore does not have its original tchum? Hashta b'kedera, Amar Rabbi Huda, lo batel b'einayhu. Yet when it comes, when water is in a pot, right? It's with food, but yet the water itself is still recognizable. Rabbi Huda holds it's not bottled to the food. So the Gemara says, Be'enayu batli. Then ultimately, again, will it become bottled by itself? This sign, Rabbi Huda says, Mayim umelach betelin bi'isa, ve'in betelin bekidera mipnei rotva. Rabbi Huda holds that water and salt that are mixed into a dough are bottled to the dough, but yet, water, when it stands by itself, or in the form of a gravy, when it stands by itself in a pot, is not considered bottle. Ella Amarava, listen to this. Rava, they first of all say, what do we see from here? The point the Gemara is just making over here is that even Rabbi Huda holds that water could be bottle, That's true when the water was mixed in with something else. But when the water is extant, when the water is right there, then even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that the water is not bottled. When we say it's not bottled, what it means is, therefore, it should have the original tchum, which means that its mobility should actually be limited. Amar Rava, Rava says, Hacha, b'chaves shekansa shvisa, umayim shalokanu shvisa askinar. So I say, oh, listen to this. What are we talking about? We're talking about a barrel that has a makom shvisa, right? A barrel that has a tchum, but water does not have tchum. Look at Rashi. What does that mean? Mayim shelo kanu shvisa, first wide line. Shenismal uhayom mimayon hanovea. I would say the example of that would be, let's say you drew water from a running spring, from a gushing spring on Shabbos, right? Ominanar from a river. Naros amoshka mayos anovim. Harin kirakali called them. Supposed to listen to this. So now I'm pouring water that does not have a tchum. I mean, everything has a tchum, right? It has the tchum of the owner into a barrel that has a different tchum. So we'll say, imagine the following situation. Let's say I go ahead, I borrow the barrel of Reuven. Reuven's tchum extends for another 1,000 amos from where I am right now. Now I just drew the water from the stream, which means what's the tchum of the water? 2,000 amos from here. So what's interesting about this case? I'm pouring now the water's in the barrel. The water, technically speaking, has a tchum of 2,000 amos from this present location. The barrel has what? 1,000 amos. So now I'm pouring water, what the Gemara calls that has no tchum, which means it has an extended tchum, into a barrel that has a more limited tchum. So what happens in that case? So the Gemara says, the bat l'chavis l'gabi mayim. And I'm also saying, in this case, the barrel is bottled to the water. So the Gemara says, kiddisnan. I'm also, what that's saying is, in general, what we're going to see is that a receptacle is bottled to the contents inside. Since the ikar is really the contents, and the receptacle is just there for a vehicle to transport the contents are primary, the receptacle is secondary, and therefore, again, the receptacle is bottled to the contents. Okay, just now listen to this. Hamotzi hachai b'mita pater. Also, listen to this case. If you carry a living person on a bed on Shabbos, you're pater. And Rav said, remember, if you carry a living person on Shabbos, what's the halacha? Are you chayiv for a hotza? Are you chayiv for transporting an object? The answer is no. Why? We've already established this. Hachai nosei es atzmo. Because a living person carries himself. Rav said, this is why, again, when there's no eruv, a person could pick up a child who walks. Right, even a child who doesn't walk, according to many opinions. But the idea is that lemaisa, because a living person, so listen to this. Let's say now I'm carrying someone on a stretcher. So Rabbi say now, the Gemara says, I'm potter for carrying the stretcher on Shabbos. Why? Because since the stretcher is bottled to the person, and since I'm not chayef carrying the person, because we assume a living person carries himself, I'm potter for the stretcher. Because the stretcher is considered secondary to the living person. Similarly, so listen to this. If let's say we've already established in Masechet Shabbos that in order to be chayiv for carrying food items, you need a requisite shear. Right? This shear was like a grogeres, like the size of a dried fig. Let's say on Shabbos I'm carrying half a dried fig. So I don't have the shear, but I'm carrying the half a dried fig in a utensil. So what's the halacha? The halacha is I'm potter. Even I'm potter for carrying the food because I don't have enough of a shear of the food. But not only that, I'm also potter for what? I'm potter for the kli. Why? Because the kli is potter to the food item. So we'll say the Gemara is suggesting over here same thing. Therefore, in this case over here, I'm going to carry the barrel, right, in accordance with the tchum of the water, and I'm not going to be chayef for carrying the barrel outside of its tchum. Why? Because the barrel is bottled to the water. Masiv Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef raises the kasha. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'shayara, no sin adam chavis l'chavera, v'chavera l'chavera. So we'll say, now, Rabbi Yosef says that Rabbi Yehuda is on record as saying that when can you use this process, Rabbi Osai, of going ahead and handing an object from one person to the other, to the next, that's in a shayara. So also, shayara is a caravan. So what happens in a caravan? So the assumption over here is people are setting up shop for Shabbos and there's no accessible water source. So that's when, in order to get water, you have to pass that person to person to person. B'shayara in, shalo b'shayara lo. When does Rabbi Yehuda permit this? In the case of a caravan. But in stomach cases, like Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't permit this. Ella Amar Rav Yosef, ki tnanai v'aslis. And b'sheyara, so the Mishnah says, enoch inami. What is the Mishnah talking about? When Rabbi Huda permits you to go ahead and give an object from one person to the next, that's talking about the sheyara, talking about a caravan. So the Mishnah says, Abai Amar, b'sheyara, afilu chavis shekansa shvisa, umayim shalokanu shvisa. So what's I say? The Gemara says like this. If you're dealing with a case of sheyara, so then literally, even in a case of a barrel that has a tchum, and water that has an extended tchum, of course you can do that. Shelo b'sheyara, chavis shekansa shvisa, umayim shelokanu shvisa. So the Gemara says, so Abaye says, if that's the case, then if you're dealing with a shayara, the laws are even more relaxed. Rav Ashi Amar, hacha b'chavis dehefker askinan. Oh, what are we talking about over here? With a hefker barrel. Umayim dehefker askinan. And so to the water is also hefker. Uman Amrulo, who said this? Rabbi Yochanan ben Urihi, the Amar, Cheftze Hefker, Konin Shvisa. We'll say again, and whose opinion is reflective over here? Rabbi Yochanan ben Urihi, because what does Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri say? Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri says that even objects of Hefker acquire a Makom Shvisa. And I will say, what Makom Shvisa do they acquire? They acquire the Makom Shvisa of their owners. And what does it mean when it says that you cannot transport these objects more than the ragli abaylim? Lo yahalchu elu yoser mikelim shiyesh lahem baylim. These objects should not be transferred any more than objects that would have owners. Rabbi Osai, since objects that do have owners acquire what? Acquire the tchum of their owners. So too, again, Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri would say also, cheftze hefker also acquire makom shvisa. What's the makom shvisa? The makom shvisa is wherever they are now. Wherever they are now is their new makom shvisa. And therefore, the same way, all the Mishnah is saying is that the same way that regular owned objects, or objects with an owner, have a makom shvisa of their owners, have the tchum of their owners, so too, again, objects of hefker will also go ahead and acquire makom shvisa based on where it is that ultimately they're found. That becomes their new makom. Wherever they are, their tchum is measured from there. And that's what the Mishnah means when it says over here that lemais, although you could transport it, there's always going to be a limit to the transport, just like utensils that are owned also have a limit to their transport as well. All right, we'll stop over here.